You're listening to Parents, You've Got This, the expert guide to parenthood.
The complete guide to pregnancy, birth, baby and parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by Parents, You've Got This and proudly supported by Mestella. Mestella is a natural origin skincare for babies and children, recommended by healthcare professionals. Mestella by Parents' Side since 1950.
Starting solids is a huge milestone in every parent's life, and for the little one. Today we talked to Dr. Lexi Friedenberg about how to start solids and make sure the starting solids journey is a success.
Dr. Lexi Friedenberg is an experienced general paediatrician working with children from as little as tiny little babies all the way through to 18-year-olds. She works with a whole range of different families with little ones experiencing chronic conditions and also acute conditions, and she is so perfectly placed to talk to us about this really important milestone today. Thank you so much, Lexi, for joining us on the podcast. Now, how do we know that our little one is ready to start solids? Is there a certain age that they have to hit, or how do we know that they're ready?
Yeah, so in Australia, we recommend starting solids by 6 months of age. So somewhere between 4 and 6 months of age, children might start showing interest and start commencing having solids.
And are there a particular readiness signs that we're looking for in our little one?
Look, it varies quite a lot, as most things do with young babies. But if your little one's starting to watch what you eat and they're able to hold their head up, they start getting a bit excited when there's food around, they can sit with some support. And also if they're showing signs, so they might open their mouth and when food's coming towards them, they might be chewing a lot on their fingers, even their toes, because they're so flexible. But if they start reaching out for food or looking around for food, it's a good time to think about it between that 4 and 6 months.
So if we're starting to see these signs in our little one, what sort of equipment do we need to make sure that we have on hand at home?
Well, as you both know, as parents, a lot of patience and be ready for mess. A big smile, get messy, kids are curious, it's a good thing. But yeah, just be prepared for that. So usually the equipment we have, maybe a small soft spoon, a bowl, some bibs, because as I said, really messy, mess mats on the floor if you need it. And then to prepare the food, we often would have a blender and some ice cube trays so that you can actually freeze some of the food you prepared.
And is there a particular time of day that we need to start when we first introduce solids?
Usually I say morning or during the day, but not at night. You don't want to be giving your child solids just before bed, because if they were to have a reaction or if it might have gone down the wrong way, you're not going to know it. So making sure that it's sort of during the day where you can observe them for a few hours.
And what are the best foods to start with, Lexi?
Yeah, so pureed foods usually, or semi-solid finger foods, it's important not to have anything too hard. But often we start with iron-fortified cereals, some minced foods like chicken, fish, meat, vegetables, beans, fruit, well-cooked egg, dairy, yogurt and cheese. So, you know, huge variety. There is no one food you must start with. Those recommendations have sort of got out the window, but a variety of food is good and just choose one to start with.
And there's a few different approaches to starting solids. There's puree or baby-led weaning. Is there a particular approach that is better than the other one? And how do you know which one's right for you?
Yes, such a good question, because it's such a controversial topic amongst mothers groups, I think. You know, puree versus baby-led weaning. There's no better approach. You just do what works for you, and a combination is actually okay as well. So really with puree, if you're going to start with that approach, that's the more traditional method where you start really pureed and then you slowly grade up the textures. And, you know, at about 9 months of age, babies will start eating more table foods and less pureed food. On the other hand, the baby-led weaning method is when you offer some safe, soft, foods right from the start, and usually that's a small piece of a parent's food. They're often not using a spoon. They might just finger feed and self feed, and it's really good for independence and fine motor skills. You might be able to do more than one food at a time, but there is no right approach. It's whatever works for you and your family.
What about quantities, Lexi? You spoke about how messy feeding time can be. Should we be worried about the quantities that our little ones are actually consuming, and what should we be aiming for as they start solids? Does it matter how much food they have, or is it about the experience of eating?
So most of your baby's nutrition in that first 12 months of life will come from breast milk or formula. So really we're starting those solids between 4 and 6 months and grading them up to get children used to food, to get used to textures and tastes and to try different things, but it's not their main source of nutrition. So we start small, 1 or 2 teaspoons. You can increase it daily. You don't have to go that slowly, actually. But, you know, many children won't be ready for a certain food or not like it. They'll spit it out, throw it at you, as I said, messy. But, you know, one food at a time and just slowly, you know, build it up. But for that first 12 months, it's more about texture and taste.
What about after 12 months? You know, does the amount change?
Yeah, so, you know, between 6 and 12 months, it starts going up gradually. And then by 12 months, they're often eating 3 meals a day, 3 snacks a day. And you can really decrease the amount of breast milk or formula that the baby's had, or transition them on to a different milk, a cow's milk or soy milk.
Now, Lexi, what about foods that babies aren't allowed to have? So you did mention that with baby-led weaning, sometimes it might be that there's part of the adult's meal that you're able to give to your baby. What are some of the things that we wouldn't share with our babies when they're starting solids?
Yeah, so actually there's not a lot of foods that we don't share. One is honey. So we don't give honey to babies under 12 months of age, and that's because of a condition called botulism, a toxin. Under 3 years of age, we worry about choking. So we remember that their gullet's really, really small.
Yeah.
And so, you know, no small hard food. So, you know, if you're going to cook carrots, you know, make them soft. Grapes, cut them up really small. No whole nuts. Apples are really hard. Popcorn. So just be really intuitive and mindful of how small that gullet can be. And if it goes down the wrong way into the windpipe, it's a problem. So really cutting things up small initially, or keeping them soft. Also, in under 12 months, we use breast milk or formula as our main source of milk. And over 12 months, we then start transitioning to cow's milk or soy milk usually. But it's not a major issue if they have a little bit of milk in their cereal or accidentally or cooked in something. It's mainly if their main nutrition source should be cow's milk or soy milk after 12 months rather than before.
And what about allergens? I think every parent is so worried about allergens. I actually remember scraping a little tiny bit of peanut butter onto a Rice Krisps at the children's hospital because I was so worried my child might have an allergic reaction while they were looking at the fish tank. And then, of course, she was fine. But how do we go about introducing allergens?
Christy, you're not alone. There's quite a lot of people who park in the Royal Children's Hospital car park and try the allergenic foods for the first time. We don't recommend that, but good to try it when you're home, you're not in a rush, that, you know, it's during the day, not at night, and that you're not somewhere remote. But there are some common foods that may cause allergy. So the ones you'll hear about are egg, cow's milk, soy, nuts, particularly peanut, wheat and fish are the most common allergens, but we don't recommend delaying these in children. So you can introduce them anytime, normally before 12 months of age. But the key is to introduce one food at a time in a small amount. As you said, smear it on their lips or a little bit in their mouth. If they don't have a reaction, the next day build it up and just slowly over a week or two, build up that food in their diet. And then if they tolerate it, particularly something like peanut butter, keep it in their diet because actually by stopping it, you can develop an allergy later.
And Lexi, is the advice any different for grown-ups or for parents who might have an allergy to one of the foods that you've mentioned? Would the advice for introducing allergens for their children be any different, or would they follow the same approach?
Yeah, great question. I think parents who have themselves had allergy or anaphylaxis are exceptionally worried.
Yeah.
It's important to say that each child is different, and just because a parent has an allergy or anaphylaxis does not necessarily mean that child will. So we don't want to delay the introduction. We want to try it, but you might just be a little more cautious. Try it when you're at home, that, you know, it's daytime, and that you might have some antihistamine on board just in case. So yeah, definitely keep introducing allergens before 12 months of age if you can, but do it in a safe, cautious way.
I know. I think it's so important that all parents do a first aid course, you know, just if their baby does choke or if they do have an allergic reaction, then you know what to do in those scary
just
situations.
Just especially as a parent, that self-confidence.
Yes.
And just, you know, having a few simple tips of what to do in case of emergency is really important.
And with starting solids, is variety important or can you give your baby the same thing every day?
Yeah, so the reason variety is important is mainly for the textures and tastes. Because as I mentioned, that first 6 to 12 months, we're just trying to grade up the textures, tastes, finger foods, etc. So it's really not necessarily about the nutritional variety, although that can be important, particularly later. But, you know, you might, similar to me, have given your child a lot of pumpkin or carrot, which I did because it was just so easy.
Yeah.
And then one of my children got something called carrotinemia where they all became orange in the face. I just kept going over the same food because I was so busy. So variety is important, but you don't have to like make different meals every day for your baby.
What about bowel motions, Lexi? So obviously introducing something new into their system might wreak havoc with their bowel motions. What can we expect as we introduce solids with regard to that?
I think bowel motions expect the unexpected. You cannot predict what's going to come out. Some food comes out like corn. You put it in, it comes out the same way.
Sure.
You know, you see that as a concept. The kernels, but yeah, if you see the cops, that's a worry. But you know, poos vary. As I said, I love poo, talking about poo, but they vary in consistency, in texture, in colour. And when you're introducing new food, remember the gut, it hasn't had variety. It hasn't had a lot of these proteins and nutrients. So it's going to take a while to get back to what it was if it ever does. So really we don't worry too much unless there's explosive diarrhoea, blood or mucus, that snotty stuff in the poo, or severe constipation causing problems.
And so, Lexi, why is it important to have a bit of fun with starting solids? Let them get messy, not wipe their mouth every time that they eat, worrying about what's going on the carpet. You know, why is it important to get messy with solids?
Yeah, I think of starting solids or giving your child solids a little bit like finger painting. You know, you got to have the room prepared and everything ready because it will look like that by the end of the experiment or the meal. Kids are curious. They love to play. So we want them to start enjoying food and their interactions with food, touching it, smelling it, tasting it, throwing it, whatever they like to do, because we want food and eating to be fun. It can be quite a stressful time for parents, but just remember it's messy, they're curious, and often you actually need to try food like 10 times before they're going to take it. So don't give up too early, but never force your child to have a food.
Thank you so much, Lexi, for sharing that wealth of information with us all here today. And a big thank you to Mostella for sponsoring this episode.
When we become parents, we welcome any tips and tricks that can make our lives easier. Mostella's specific care range includes products you may need for your child's specific needs. This includes Cicostella for the little skin boo-boos, vitamin barrier cream for nappy rash, and the shampoo and cream for cradle cap. Mostella products are dermatologist and paediatrician tested, and they're our family's favourite.
You've been listening to the Parents You've Got This podcast, the expert guide to parenthood, and never forget, parents, you've got this.
The information provided in this podcast is general in nature and is intended to support, not replace, a discussion with your doctor or healthcare professional. Parents You've Got This take no responsibility for any medical decisions made by individuals based on the information provided in this podcast.
Join a Parents You've Got This masterclass today to be prepared, excited and educated
for pregnancy, birth, baby and parenthood.
Visit www.parentsyouvegotthis.com.au
and sign up for a masterclass today.